Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso. You may not be aware that AT&T, Verizon, and other telecom giants are lobbying the Federal Communications Commission and the states to make telephone landlines go the way of the horse-drawn carriage. Soon, everyone in the United States may have only options for internet-based telephone service or cell phone service. At the Boulevard Planning Group meeting on April 3rd, local resident Kevin Keene, an IT and telecommunications professional, discussed the issue with local residents, who were unaware that these plans are in the works. According to Keene, by the year 2020, landlines will no longer exist in California and likely elsewhere in the U.S. Other states are on an even faster track, such as Michigan, that will cease offering landlines by 2017. For people living within the San Diego city limits and its suburbs, many have Cox, Time Warner, and AT&T with bundled phone service or cable television programming and internet plans, and they are already off the landline grid, but they might not know it. Those bundles provide phone service through an IP network, not old-fashioned copper telephone wires. In most cases, this service is reliable, though some of these systems failed during the major blackout a couple of years ago, as did cell phones. By contrast, old-fashioned landlines, you know, the kind you plug into the wall, have typically worked reliably even when the power goes off. However, for many backcountry communities in East County, the thought of landline elimination is currently of grave concern. Wireless phone signals just don't work in parts of communities such as Boulevard, Potrero, Jamul, Descanso, and others. The technology required to eliminate landlines has not caught up with rural America. This violates the FCC's mission of universal access for all U.S. citizens. Of utmost concern is safety. 911 calls from a cell phone or a wireless phone are not as accurate as they are from a landline. Oh, and they can't be traced either, to make sure that emergency services will reach you. Kim Hamilton, who produces the Antler Alert, a local publication for Dearhorn Valley residents, has told us that she received many complaints from area residents who were sold wireless home phones. They confirmed to her that they had problems with reception, and most troubling, they could not dial 911 in the case of an emergency. That includes a resident who tried to report a fire at the Circle J Ranch, where a barn burned down, killing several animals. Hamilton says the loss of landlines could be a death sentence for someone out here. Wireless doesn't give 911 your location, unlike landlines, so medical calls could be delayed if the individual can't give the address, she noted. Hamilton said some of these local residents are being told by AT&T that wireless service would work regardless of their spotty reception. She said she was concerned about salespeople for many of these providers who were not being upfront about how current technology does not work in certain rural areas. And we have asked AT&T about this in the past, incidentally, and they showed basically a lack of concern for residents being impacted by these issues and would not provide any timetable for solving these problems. If the telephone providers have their way, copper wire phone service will be history. But the elimination of landlines will require FCC approval. Technology may catch up with backcountry rural communities of East County and other parts of the U.S. as communication towers are built, eventually. But at what cost? The U.S. Department of the Interior has warned about the threat of communication towers to birds, for instance. They're calling for an environmental review and state that 241 different bird species are at risk specifically due to cell phone towers. Some have also voiced concern that dwindling populations of bees and bats might be linked to electromagnetic pollution. Electromagnetic radiation also has significant impacts on human beings. According to the Bioinitiative 2012, there is evidence that such exposure damages DNA and interferes with DNA repair, also causing toxicity to human genes and damaging the nervous system. The Bioinitiative called for better studies on the effects of mobile phone-based stations or wireless antenna facilities and cell towers on health impacts. The Boulevard Planning Group voted to authorize a letter to be drafted voicing their concerns over loss of landlines. It would be directed to the FCC and also to Congressman Juan Vargas. Residents of other East County communities may wish to write to your congressional members as well. You can find contact information for all local congressional representatives and California senators at eastcountymagazine.org in our Citizens Action Center section. Reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
If you're planning to get a driver's license or take care of other business at the Department of Motor Vehicles, you'd better plan ahead. The DMV office in El Cajon will be closed for remodeling after April 25th and won't be open again until October. This is the only DMV location in East County. So you have to visit the San Diego, Claremont, Poway, Chula Vista, or San Ysidro field office instead. You can also make inquiries online by visiting www.dmv.ca.gov. Reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ, this is Levi Moore.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ. On Thursday, high school students walking home from El Capitan High School in Lakeside made a grisly discovery, finding the body of a man who'd been shot in an alley behind a laundromat and a market. This is right across from Lindo Lakes in the community center. And I've got Leon Thompson in the studio with me. Leon, of course, works with us, and he happened to be right on the scene yesterday. Leon, tell us how that all came about.
I was there to pick up my laundry. I regularly have my laundry done there at that laundromat and pick it up at 2 o'clock. So I was there about 1:40.
Just moments after the 911 call was made by the students.
Yes, and there were sheriff cars pulling in like bees going into a beehive. In minutes, the whole place was surrounded. There was yellow caution tape around the parking lot and down the alley. There were investigators from the sheriff squad there.
Yeah, now the victim, we understand, was found propped up against a wall with the gun still in his lap when that first 911 call was made. You interviewed several of the students, about a half a dozen of them that were at the scene. What did they tell you, Leon?
Well, they were on their way home from school. They got out at 1:20 and from El Capitan High School. So they were cutting through the alley on their way home, and it was a shortcut for them, and they found the body. There were about 8 of them total that saw the body, and 6 of them were being interviewed by the sheriff when I was at the laundromat, and I overheard their interview as well as talked to them later about the details. They found the body up against the wall in a sort of a sitting position, and there was a pool of blood in his lap. And
where was the gunshot wound?
There was a hole in his chest just below his heart.
Now, one of the students, Marquise Carter, told you that it looked staged, like as if they were watching a movie at first.
Yeah, that's how he described it. He said at first it was staged. It seemed so unreal. It was as if they were watching a movie, is the way he put it. And I can imagine when you see this sort of stuff on movie screens all the time, then you see it in reality, it might seem unreal.
Yeah. Now, they also told you that there was bruising on the man's face.
They all agreed that it appeared as though the man had been beaten up, that his face was bruised and black and blue.
So, oddly, perhaps given that information, the sheriff investigators, after being out there all day, concluded that this was a suicide, not a homicide or a murder. We don't know. We found this out late last night, and we haven't had a chance to talk with the sheriff yet to find out why they concluded it was a suicide. So perhaps there was a note somewhere or some kind of evidence he'd been depressed, but it does seem odd. However, the situation kind of threw the whole area into a bit of a panic yesterday. What happened next was while the students were calling 911, apparently another man came up running along, grabbed the gun, and took off with it. So then what happened, Leon?
That's true. That's exactly right. And some of the accounts, the early accounts, mentioned the gun at the scene. And then suddenly there was no mention of a gun. But whoever took the gun was being hunted. One helicopter and eventually a second helicopter came overhead and announced on loudspeaker that they were looking for a white male dressed in black with purple shoes.
Purple shoes, yeah.
Yes.
And injury to his face.
Exactly. There was an injury to his eye.
So this prompted a lockdown. at El Capitan High School and Christian Elementary, and I think a third school, if I'm not mistaken. And a lot of people very, very concerned that there might be a gunman on the loose. There was word that he might be armed, that he might have a gun. And then despite all that, they concluded ultimately that it was a suicide. The gun was eventually located. It was found discarded in some bushes not far from Lindo Lake. And actually, our photographer, Billy Ortiz, who also lives in Lakeside, happened to be out there. And he got video of the recovery of the gun, which you can see on our website. They eventually did find the man who reportedly took the gun, and he told investigators that he did it to prevent the kids from the school from picking it up. But it raises some interesting questions. If you're so concerned about kids picking up a gun, why would you toss it in the bushes right near the lake where all the kids walk by and families and everybody else, instead of giving it to authorities? It just seemed very, very strange to me. So I think this incident raises some additional questions.
The witnesses that I talked to, the young men, were visibly shaken, but they deserve some congratulations on people. So even though you could tell they were shook up, they did a great job of composing themselves and turned out to be really good witnesses. But I did happen to think about, after talking to these young men, that they could be affected by this traumatic experience.
Yeah, we hope maybe the school may offer some counseling or something for the students.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I wonder if that kind of thing is available at the high school.
It's a very good question, but that certainly leads me to share some additional information with readers that if you or anyone you know is depressed, contemplating suicide, or perhaps was personally involved in this incident and needs some counseling, help is available free. You can call the County Crisis Hotline 24 hours a day at 1-800-479-3339. Leon, thank you very much for coming on and sharing this story with our listeners today.
You're welcome.
This is a special announcement from the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts.
Wildfire season is fast approaching, and with the drought, this year could be one of the worst fire seasons in years. Have you created defensible space to help firefighters protect your home? San Diego County residents are invited to attend a free defensible space workshop this Saturday, April 5th at 10:45 a.m. in the Julian Library. Residents are not helpless when it comes to protecting their homes and lives from disastrous wildfire events. Learn how you can make simple changes to your home and landscape that will make a difference in the event of a wildfire. Wildfire doesn't have to burn everything in its path. In fact, cleaning your property of debris and maintaining your landscaping are important first steps. Adding FireWise landscaping and hardscaping around your home can also help keep you safer. Due to the extreme drought conditions this year, it will also be important to complete yard work earlier than usual to avoid causing a wildfire by using yard maintenance equipment in hot, dry conditions. For more information, contact Defensible Space at firesafesdcounty.org or call 619-562-0096. Again, this free Defensible Space program will be held this Saturday, April 5th, at 10:45 a.m. in the Julian Library, located at 1850 Highway 78 in Julian.
The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
Welcome to Job Talk, bringing you news about great jobs and growing our regional economy. This is Miriam Raftery, and today on Jobs Talk on the East County Magazine show, since this is the Network for Social Justice, KNSJ, we're going to talk about jobs that have great people working there and some jobs that attract the most psychopaths. I want to define, first of all, the psychopathic personality is someone who has a high tolerance for stress, shallow emotions, they lack empathy, they're cold-hearted, They don't have any guilt feelings. They can be manipulative, impulsive, and have antisocial behavior. That sounds like some bosses I've had. I don't know about you.
That sounds like my boss.
So Forbes magazine just published the list of the top 10 jobs that are most apt to attract psychopaths and those that are least apt to attract them. And this is out of a book called The Wisdom of Psychopaths, What Saints, Spies, and Serial Killers Can Teach Us About Success. So I'm curious, guys. I've got my team here from the magazine today, Leon, Ariel, and Ed. Ariel, what do you think is a profession that might be most apt to attract psychopaths?
Well, prison guards?
That could be, but it's not on the list, actually.
Oh.
You know, to be a prison guard, you might have to be a little bit sadistic. Could be.
Yeah, maybe they didn't include that on the survey.
Could be. Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of nice ones.
Leon...
What politicians.
Politicians. That would have been my guess. I can definitely think of some that seem like they have that lack of empathy, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
No conscience. Mm-hmm. But no, that's not on
Stalin,
the list.
Stalin, Mao Zedong.
Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, I'm going to go with lawyers.
Lawyers. Ed is right. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
Lawyers are on there. They're number two on the list, and that's why they call them barracudas, I guess.
Oh, my.
What? Any more guesses, number you guys,
two.
Before I read the
clergy.
List? You know, believe it or not, clergy is on the list of psychopathic professions. I don't know why.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that strange? I don't know.
And I'm thinking about some of the people that might be working in, like, criminally insane institutions.
Could be.
Right. Could. Yeah, the
drawn to the drama.
The psychologists and psychiatrists.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have thought clergy might be on the least psychopathic list, but maybe they're talking about radio preachers or something like that, but actually the bad news, guys, is radio and TV personalities are also on the list.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's a mistake.
I gotta watch out for you.
Typo.
I can think of some psychotic radio announcers, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Not in this studio.
A few of them out there on it.
Not on our show.
Extremists, yeah. Okay. I'm going to read off the list, I think, in terms of from number 10 to number 1 of the most psychotic, and then we'll move on to the least. The most psychotic, number 10, civil servants. Remember going postal?
Yeah. Mm. Is a politician count in there, too?
They're not on the list. I think they should be, but
maybe
they're not. That was a definite
technically
oversight.
Technically, they're civil servants, right?
That's true.
Number 9. This is disturbing. Chefs.
Oh, my. This is too cold.
Oh, no.
I'm bringing a taster with me the next time I go.
You don't want to mess with someone who works with knives.
Yeah, if you ask people who have worked under a chef, they might have guessed that one.
Or I can think of the soup Nazi.
The soup Nazi.
Seinfeld.
Number 8 is clergy. Number 7 is police officers. Wow.
Yeah,
I guess
it's a little scary.
It is. And number 6 is journalist. Oh, no.
We kind of got to be crazy.
Say it isn't so.
I guess you got to be crazy to work in this profession. Yeah. Number 5. Can you guess number 5, guys? It's another profession that works with knives.
Butchers?
Butchers? Nope. They're not on the list.
Surgeons.
Surgeons.
Oh.
And they think of, the author concluded that they think of their patients as meat.
Oh.
You kind of have to be a little detached when you're doing that job.
That really makes you want to go under the knife. Right?
Well, the survey actually concluded that certain elements of the psychopathic personality can actually be an advantage in certain jobs. If you're a battlefield surgeon, you've got to be a little bit dispassionate and able to detach yourself from what you're doing. And that probably applies to maybe investigative journalists who see some pretty grisly things sometimes, maybe surgeons or some of these other professions.
And maybe that they have to constantly deal with the changing environment every single new day they go to work.
Yeah. Now, number 4, for all of us that have ever been interrupted at the dinner hour by one of those really annoying...
telemarketers.
Well, salespeople are on the list. You got it. No conscience.
Well, the good ones are psychopaths.
Yeah. Number 3, as I say, is TV and radio media. Boy, we're on there twice with media.
Wow.
Number 2 is lawyers. I'm married to one, so I don't know what that says. We've got 2 in one family. Okay, number 1, you guys. I can't believe nobody guessed number 1. Think Wolves of Wall Street, the big banks of the Occupy.
The
CEOs.
That's right. All those big energy companies and big banks and stuff. So
yeah, there are definitely some psychopaths in those fields.
There you go. Oh,
you'd have to be greedy, and you'd have to be self-centered, and not care what the consequences are to masses amounts of people.
Callous.
Yeah, that's true. Never thought about
not
it.
Not having conscience.
Fire people on the spot and give yourself a huge raise.
I think we should round them all up. Round up all the CEOs.
And give them the test.
And make them go work in one of the jobs on the other.
Put them to work in the nursery.
Make them go work in one of the 10 occupations that are least likely to attack psychopaths. So let's see how you guys do on this list. What are some of the professions where empathy and caring about people is actually an advantage, and people who want to do that would be attracted to these jobs?
Social worker.
Special education teacher.
Teacher is on the list. Social worker, not specifically, but there's some others that are close here. I think you guys can
nurses.
Guess. Nurses is on the list. Nurses, number two. And care aid is also on the list.
Probably a lot of things where there's sort of a low pay, but you're being helpful towards people.
Yeah, most of them, with a couple of notable exceptions. Okay, number 10, guys. Who does your taxes for you?
The accountant.
Accountants. I think they're kind of neutral. I don't know.
Yeah.
That surprised me a little.
They're crunching numbers a lot.
I guess so. Mm. Number 9, this one's interesting, doctor. So even though surgeons, the guys that operate on folks, are on the psychopathic personality list, doctors in general are on the good list. So what does that say? I guess they have to be compassionate, or should be, caring about people.
They want to clear up those ailments. And
they
don't necessarily have to cut you open.
There you go. Right. Yeah. Now, Ed, you're a musician, and Ariel, you're a writer, so I know you guys are going to be glad to hear that number 8 is creative artists.
Yeah.
Yeah, no surprise there, even though I have encountered quite a few psychopaths in my years playing in a band.
How about Boy George? I mean, come on now.
I don't know. It was the guy, Ozzy Osbourne, that used to bite the head off the bats. I don't know. I think there's a few exceptions out there.
The tortured artist, you know. Yeah. But on the other hand, I think maybe Ed was getting to the fact that people who are creative are more open, dealing with things out in the open and expressing.
True. You may have less bottled up emotions if you can write it down or sing it out.
Exactly.
Very good point. Number 7, Ariel, I know you'll be glad to hear, since you're a substitute teacher, that teachers are also on the list.
Yes.
There you go.
I knew that.
And I think that's comforting for parents, that the folks watching over your kids in school are not psychopaths.
Except maybe your high school students may not agree with that.
You know, I can think of a couple college professors, that other category. Number 5, here's someone who works with scissors, and they're on the good list. Beauticians and hairstylists.
Because that's
they
where you
make
get
you
all
gorgeous,
your therapy,
you know?
Right?
I guess so.
Yeah, every 2 weeks I see my haircutter and talk about my most...
Oh, yes. The conversations, yes.
Number 4
bartenders.
You know, I think bartenders would be an interesting addition to the list. You're right.
But
they might be better to be the detached psychopath if they're going to get through the night.
Well, that's true. All those bar fights.
Right.
Especially, Adam, what's that one in Lakeside where they used to tell people that the next person in the door has
to
punch somebody out? Craftspeople, actually. People that do crafting, apparently. You know, my mom does crafting. She's,
benevolent.
Just a nice person, and I guess so. Mm-hmm. It's kind of harmless.
Is that a career?
Well, depends how good you are at it.
Certainly an avocation.
I think so. Number 3, you'll be glad to know, if you're going to tell all your problems to somebody, therapists are on the list, least likely to attract psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
They attract them to their office as patients, though.
Yes.
Well, that's true. They have to listen to this.
They need to talk to the other team.
It might be the other side of the coin.
So you might not want to work in their office if you're looking to stay away from psychopaths.
You need to talk to some more CEOs.
Don't want to be the receptionist.
The psychopaths don't go for therapy. Yeah, they don't care.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. They don't think they have any problems. They think everybody else has the problems. Number 2, not surprisingly, Leon, you used to be married to one, is nurse.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, it's overworked, underpaid, and weird hours, and you really have to be dedicated to be a nurse.
I think so. Mm-hmm. You have to be very selfless and care about other people, maybe more than yourself, to do
Absolutely.
That occupation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to even show up, because they can get so sick just from being there.
True.
Yeah. I had a friend who was a nurse.
And number one on the list of occupations least likely to have psychopaths is care aides. You know, those good-hearted people who go out and they take care of the elderly or disabled mm-hmm. folks in their own homes or maybe in care facilities. Those are actually the least apt to have those mm-hmm. negative personality traits.
That's good. I'm sure there's some exceptions where there's like elderly abuse and things like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, right. That's true.
But for the most part, that sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. Know that if my mother gets very old, then those are going to be caring people that'll take care of her. Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. And so you can find more information about this. If you want this complete list and you want to read the entire book, you can check out The Wisdom of Psychopaths by Kevin Dutton, is where we got these fascinating facts about the most and least psychopathic professions out there on today's Job Talk. Thanks for joining us, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm going to go out and round up all the CEOs.
Can you have a disclaimer before mm-hmm. or after that you're not trying to disparage different occupations?
Yeah, it's
kind of a broad
canvas. Yeah, yeah, I didn't need that.
Let me add that on.
We might get sued by the CEOs.
All the lawyers will be sued.
The lawyers.
Yeah. Well, I want to say, obviously, this is a bit of poking
fun.
We're
a bunch of psychopaths.
Yeah. A bit of poking fun today, but we certainly don't want to disparage any individual out there in any occupations. And obviously, we're all on the list, too, of those occupations.
Yeah, twice.
So we definitely are taking this with a very large grain of salt here.
So be very careful out there.
Watch out.
This is Ed Barreno with KNSJ. Do you have some old prom attire hanging in your closet that you no longer need? Ramona High School is asking that you donate these items to help students who can't otherwise afford to attend their prom on May 3rd. Going to the prom has long been a highlight of students' high school years. But in addition to the cost of tickets, students have to contend with the cost of formal attire, transportation, flowers, dinner, and more, at a time when many families are struggling economically. In an effort to help students in need, Ramona High School invites you to bring prom attire to the high school office at 1401 Hanson Lane in Ramona between 7 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. on school days. You can help students create memories to last a lifetime.
Yeah. What's up, Doc?
I'll tell you what's up, Bugs. On Saturday, April 19th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. is the Spring Extravaganza at Santee Lakes. It includes carnival rides, pony rides, face painting, petting zoos, and continuous egg hunts all day long.
Oh, Mr. Wabbit. Oh, Mr. Wabbit. Where's that waskily wabbit?
Oh, no, Elmer. It's not that kind of a hunt. It's an egg hunt, not a rabbit hunt. It's put on by the Padre Dam Municipal Water District for the Children of East County. And you can find out all the details at www.santeelakes.com. The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, from the desert to the coast.
50 years ago, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke at San Diego State University. Now, the campus wants to commemorate this historic anniversary later this month, but cannot locate a transcript or audio tape of the speech, and only one grainy photo is even known to exist. Paul Menifee is an assistant professor at the Department of Rhetoric and Writing Studies. He says, "We're looking for people who were present when Dr. King spoke with hopes that they can share their memories of the experiences." Dr. King was already famous at the time of his visit, 6 months after he delivered his famous I Have a Dream speech, and shortly after he was named Time Magazine's Man of the Year. Just 6 months later, he won the Nobel Peace Prize. But due to the controversial nature of his messages in that era, and perhaps discriminatory attitudes at the time, records of his speech have been lost, in stark contrast to a speech delivered just 1 year earlier by President John F. Kennedy. If you have memories or documentation of Dr. King's visit at San Diego State to share,
please contact Dr. Menefee at area code 619-594-6517 or email him at pminifee, M-I-N-I-F-E-E, at mail.sdsu.edu. Reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week. This week's Destination East County program features spring festivals, classical music, poetry and art, baby animals, golf events, and more. For months, the Water Conservation Garden, also known as The Garden, on the campus of Cuyamaca College, has been building and anticipating their newest addition, a butterfly pavilion. Dubbed the Dorcas E. Utter Butterfly Pavilion, the Water Conservation Garden invites the public to a butterfly festival for the opening of the pavilion on Saturday, April 5th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The festival will include tours, a pollinator parade, and butterfly release, a butterfly habitat plant sale, butterfly experts, booths and workshops, butterfly discovery lab and kids crafts, plus appearances by Ms. Smarty Plants and Miss Metamorphosis. St. Madeline Sophie's Center unveils a new vineyard and celebrates a special sneak peek planting party on Saturday, April 5th. At the planting party, guests will have the opportunity to view the vineyard and support the organization by purchasing and planting vines from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Project Wildlife's fifth annual Wildlife Baby Shower takes place on Saturday, April 5th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., where baby animals will be on display, as well as other rescued wildlife. Guests can bring donations or choose a gift online for the babies through a gift registry at Amazon.com. There will be tours of the triage center, where many of Project Wildlife's volunteers work with the animals, as well as a kids zone with games and activities for the whole family. There will also be an opportunity drawing and a wildlife bazaar for shopping. Project Wildlife's Central Triage Center is on Sherman Road in San Diego, with the party on Custer Avenue. Saturday, April 5th is also the date for the second annual Lakeside Rodeo Golf Tournament to be held at Cottonwood Golf Club in El Cajon. Proceeds from the four-person scramble tournament will benefit scholarships for students in Lakeside. Registration begins at 11:30 a.m., with the shotgun start at 1 p.m. The Developmental Services Continuum Incorporated in Lemon Grove is holding a pancake breakfast and rummage sale fundraiser this Saturday, April 5th, beginning at 8 a.m. Pancakes will be served during the rummage sale till 11 a.m., with the rummage sale continuing through 1 p.m. The organization is a nonprofit agency that provides support and services for adults and children with developmental disabilities. The Lakeside Library is holding their annual Art and Poetry Festival on Saturday, April 5th, from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. This will be a day of art, poetry, music, and fun for the whole family. The library's annual Art and Poetry Contest winners will be featured, and all entries will be on display, along with art from the East County Art Association. Visitors can also enjoy a sing-along, free lunch, ice cream social, and a magic and bubbles show. First Saturday nature walks are occurring at Wrights Field Preserve in Alpine. This Saturday, April 5th, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the preserve, herbalist Myra Bull will be leading the walk with the topic of plant identification and ethnobotany. This walk is a free event, and you can find out more at the Backcountry Land Trust website at www.bclt.org. Wrights Field Preserve is located behind the Joan McQueen Middle School at 2001 Tavern Road in Alpine. Park at the school. Poway's annual Spring Family Festival takes place on Sunday, April 6th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Main stage bands will perform at this annual family event, including two new acts, Fusion Beat and Nathan James. In addition, backed by popular demand, are the Navy Band Southwest Destroyers. East County Youth Symphony performs a free concert in Lakeside on Sunday, April 6th at 4 p.m. at the Lakeside Community Presbyterian Church in Lakeside. In a free concert with the harp by three advanced student members of the San Diego chapter of the American Harp Society will be held on Sunday, April 6th from 3 to 4 p.m. at Mission Trails Regional Park. Performers Heidi Fleischbein, Maho Morikawa, and Christina Sumprer will perform. On Sunday, April 6th from 9:30 to 11 a.m., Happy Trails, a hike walk amid sage and chaparral with a Mission Trails Regional Park Trail Guide will be held for those who want to learn fun facts about the plants and critters that populate our rich and vibrant ecosystems. Meet inside the visitor center. This hike will repeat on several other dates in April, so check our calendar or the MTRP website at www.mtrp.org. Now for a preview of upcoming events, beginning with more golf. Junior golf clinics for boys and girls ages 6 to 15 will be held at Cottonwood Golf Club in El Cajon for two consecutive weeks, Mondays through Thursdays, on April 7th through 10th and April 14th through 17th. The Mother Goose Parade Golf Classic on April 10th will also be held at Cottonwood Golf Club in El Cajon. Proceeds will benefit the 2014 Mother Goose Parade. Saturday, April 12th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. is the date for the Hamul Kiwanis Hot Rod Show and Chili Cook-Off, with drawing prizes, live band and DJ, food, and children's play area, held at Pio Pico Thousand Trails on Otay Lakes Road in Hamul. This is the same annual event that was held at Simpson's Nursery on Highway 94 before the nursery closed. Information on how and where to enter your chili, as well as antique vehicle registration, t-shirt orders, and more, can be found on www.hamulkiwanis.com and our East County Magazine calendar. Proceeds for this event fund the Hamul Kiwanis Scholarship Program. A former Army base, once the last station of the famous Buffalo Soldiers, is hosting a trail ride at the Camp Lockett and Equestrian Facility in Campo on Saturday, April 12th at 10 a.m., with sign-ups at 9 a.m. Participants can experience a trail ride with a wine and cheese tasting at Trail's End. The ride includes a tour of Gloriosa Vineyard, heavy hors d'oeuvres, and wine tastings. Also next weekend, a 16th annual Morning Glory brunch will be served at St. Madeline Sophie's campus on East Madison Avenue in El Cajon on Saturday, April 12th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. St. Madeline Sophie's Center is an East County vocational day program for more than 400 adults with developmental disabilities. The brunch features a springtime ambiance at the center's own organic garden, food and beverages from over 20 local restaurants, artwork from St. Madeline Sophie's students and local artists, live music and entertainment, silent and Chinese auctions, and the annual Great Frog Race. That's all for this week. All of these events and more can be found on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at www.eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is supported by our listeners and with a community enhancement grant from San Diego County.
See you around, East County!
Welcome to Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read. My name is Raina Menashe, and I'll be your host for this segment. Today I'm interviewing Peggy Doherty Snyder, a licensed psychologist with over 35 years of clinical experience in private practice, and the author of The 10-Minute Cognitive Workout, How to Manage Your Mood and Change Your Life in 10 Minutes a Day. Welcome, Peggy. It's a pleasure having you on Bookshelf.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
Let's start with defining cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, for our listeners in easy-to-comprehend terms. What is CBT, and why did you specialize in it?
A basic tenet of CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, is that our thoughts and our emotions are intimately related.
Right.
However, our thoughts govern and direct our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to change a particular emotion, what you need to do is change your thought. And in working with clients, I discovered that they have had negative, irrational, or dysfunctional thoughts. And by changing these thoughts into positive, rational, functional thoughts, in that process, their emotions would change. And when you change your emotions, it follows that your behavior can also change. And I found it a very effective way to work with clients.
Now, does this mean that you do not go into their past, their history, you know, the more Freudian model? Does it stay at that superficial level, or does it go into history?
It stays at that level. When I was a beginning psychotherapist, I was I used a psychodynamic orientation and talked a lot about their childhood and upbringing and relationships with family members. And I pretty much abandoned that technique, and I found it much more efficient and effective to use cognitive behavioral therapy technique that I'm describing today.
And it's supported by research.
Very much supported by research, more than, I believe, more than other orientations and techniques.
Fascinating. So your book, published by Horizons Press in 2013, teaches this one simple, easy-to-learn exercise designed to improve mood, manage stress, and change behavior. What feedback have you received from readers and clients about the effectiveness?
I've been very gratified by the feedback because I've discovered that there are so many different situations that the workout is very effective with. For example, one reader who is has been diagnosed with breast cancer and is in chemotherapy, and that will be followed by radiation, uses the workout to help her cope with the illness. A person in AA told me, and this person happens to be a sponsor. She's a long-term member of AA. So she has a few people as her sponsorees. She bought several of the books because she thinks it's ideal for people in Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I think it would be applicable to other 12-step programs. And for more everyday things, just coping with everyday stress, people have reported that it's very effective. One reader said that she had reached a point where she wasn't getting as much done or being very productive, and she uses the workout to help her be more productive every day. And she said it's such a short investment of time for such a big reward.
Yeah, that leads me to my next question. How long does it take to start? Is it really 10 minutes that you can start to notice it?
The exercise takes 10 minutes.
Okay, so how long before you start noticing the effectiveness of the practice?
A lot of people report noticing it in a day or two.
Really?
Maybe in a few more days than that. It might depend on what they're working on. It involves writing down cognitive workout statements, which the person creates, but the book has many, many examples of these statements, and then reading them out loud at least once. I recommend reading them three times a day. So if you read them three times a day, the process of internalizing them is facilitated, and the effectiveness then would increase in that way.
Okay. Well, thanks for those examples. Makes it a lot clearer. You're also an award-winning playwright of more than 30 productions, which have been performed in New York City, San Diego, Los Angeles, Houston, San Francisco, Great Britain, Toronto, and elsewhere. What are your plays about, and how does your writing process change when doing this kind of work?
Well, this is my first nonfiction book. I've been a playwright for, maybe 13 or 14 years.
So this was the change.
This was the big change. Mm-hmm. My plays all deal with relationships, either family relationships or romantic relationships. They are all comedies except,
oh, really?
Except for one. And the one that isn't a comedy has not had a production yet, so maybe I ought to stick to comedies. And it's just really fun to see your work produced and see it live on a stage.
Right, and you're always writing about people and psychology and relationships, it sounds like.
Yes, yes.
Well, speaking of that, you're now working on a novel. Is that also about relationships? Could you give us a teaser about the book and when you expect your novel to become available?
The novel, it's a comic novel, I hope, about a writer living in Los Angeles. And writing is her passion. And the single-minded pursuit of this passion kind of throws her perspective off and her life out of balance. And there are many comic complications mm-hmm. that come out of that. And it's really fun writing it. I'm hoping to finish it at the end of this year, the beginning of 2015. So when it will be published, it'd be great if it were in 2015, so right. maybe towards the end of 2015.
Now, is your protagonist based on anyone you know, or is it at all autobiographical?
Oh, no, not at all. I don't know where I came up with the idea of a female writer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we look forward to seeing it. One last question. What is a very effective application described in the 10-minute cognitive workout? In other words, could you give us an example of the kind of affirmation that you might repeat 3 times a day? Can you actually tell us an example?
Well, a simple example would be, what if the person would like to work out more?
Okay.
Either go to the gym or take walks or whatever type of exercise he or she prefers. Some examples of workout statements would be, I am going to the gym today. I am working out today. The statements are constructed based on 4 really simple rules. So that's really critical that you follow the rules, and they're really simple, but they're in the present tense and they use the ing form of the verb. Okay. So it's as if the behavior is already occurring, which might not be true, but as you are writing it mm-hmm. and then saying it out loud to yourself, it's becoming true. So I am working out today. I'm going to the gym today. I'm enjoying mm-hmm. exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to going to the gym. Those kinds of statements. And they really have a big effect on your behavior and how you feel about exercising.
Yeah, it's reinforcing the idea that words are powerful.
Yes, and the subconscious mind is so powerful.
Well, our time is up, Peggy, but thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed it.
If you would like more information on Dr. Peggy Snyder and her work, please visit her Facebook page at the 10-Minute Cognitive Workout / Peggy D. Snyder, and that's Snyder. Again, this is Raina Menashe, and you have been listening to East County Magazine's Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
This is a public service announcement from the National Weather Service. The National Weather Service is looking for COCORAS. That stands for Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network, a nonprofit network of volunteer precipitation observers. All you need is a 4-inch rain gauge, the internet, and a few minutes each day. Observers are especially needed in California's rural areas where there are few, if any, observers. Now, at East County Magazine, we know this is true in East County. We've been known to call up businesses in Julian and ask the proprietor to go poke a stick in the snow and tell us how deep it is, since there's no official weather observation site in Julian. But everyone wants to know when there's enough snow for sledding and snowball fights. Observation sites can be right in your own backyard or in schools, gardens, nurseries, or residential communities. Even offices can participate so you can know how much rain falls in your community. There's even an app that's just been launched so that you can report via your iPhone, iPad, or iPod, or look up past reports. There's also a website with even more helpful information. This data is valuable to the National Weather Service, hydrologists, and farmers, as well as residents. I'm going to do that sentence over. This data is valuable to the National Weather Service, hydrologists, and farmers, as well as residents. To learn more or sign up, visit kokoraz.org. That's spelled C-O-C-O-R-A-H-S.org. Reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
This is Connie Beck with Ready, Set, Grow. I'm going to help you create healthy and beautiful gardens using less money, less hard work, and much more fun. I'd like to talk today about some plants you can plant to bring in hummingbirds. Everybody loves them. Nobody wants to fill those feeders. They get ants in them. They get bees in them. They get mold in them. And someday I'll convince my husband to quit putting sugar water in them and feeding them, because there's enough in my yard to keep every hummingbird in East County quite happy for quite a while. So what do you want to put in your yard that will bring in the hummingbirds? My favorite plant is a cultivar of a native plant. It is called Galvezia firecracker. If you go to most nurseries nowadays, this plant has become so popular that you can get it. Just ask for firecracker, which is different than Russellia. It's a Galvezia, G-A-L-V-E-Z-I-A. This is a plant that gets to be about 4 feet tall, 4 feet wide, and it has red tubular flowers. And that's the key, isn't it? Red tubular flowers. That's what brings in the hummingbirds. They love it. Can't stay away from them. This is a much more manageable and nice plant than the Cape honeysuckle with the big orange flowers and the plant that gets to be 15 feet tall and 20 feet wide and goes everywhere and is a big floppy mess. Try a firecracker and see what you think. You can grow it in the sun, in the shade, in part sun, in part shade, with a lot of water or with just a little bit of water, and it will be fine. I have a neighbor who grows it under pepper trees, and the gardeners come every week and prune them into little round balls, and they never really get to bloom, and those trees have suffered through that for the last few years without a single one of them dying. Now that's what I would call an obliging plant. Another good plant that will bring in lots and lots of wildlife to your garden, and hummingbirds especially, is called California fuchsia. It's called Epilobium. Some of you may have known it in the past as Zauschneria. What a great name. So there's a good password for you, Zauschneria. Who's going to use a word like that for their password? Zauschnerias, or Epilobiums, California fuchsia, are a gray plant, and they have a bright orange-red tubular flower. Once again, great for hummingbirds, really keeps them happy. This is a plant that will actually spread slightly on its own and will get by even if something bad happens to the irrigation and nobody irrigates it for 6 weeks or 6 months. It won't die. It'll be fine. Anytime you go to a nursery, look around and look for the plants that have the red tubular flowers. That's the key to hummingbirds. Now, my friend Maureen Austin, who puts on the Sage and Songbirds Festival every year, says there's two kinds of wildlife-attracting plants out there. There's ice cream cones, which we're talking about now. These are the tubular-shaped flowers that the hummingbirds like. Or there's pizzas, and pizzas are the flat flowers, the daisy-type flowers, that you see butterflies landing on. If you think about butterfly bush, Buddleia, which brings in all sorts of cute little butterflies, it also is fragrant. It's known as summer lilac here, or butterfly bush. Then if you take a close look at those purple spikes that grow on that bring in the butterflies, you'll see a whole bunch of little bitty flowers. And that's what the butterflies are landing on. That's what they like. So that's a great one. Probably the best butterfly plant that you can come up with, though, is always going to be the butterfly weed, milkweed, Asclepias curassavica. It has orange and red flowers on it, and it just grows like a weed in your garden. Not invasive, just reseeds very effectively. You will know that you have succeeded when you see interesting looking green caterpillars all over the plant, eating every leaf. In my garden, I pick them off and I move them to another milkweed after they eat all the leaves off one. I don't try to fight them because they're going to turn into monarch butterflies. So my garden is full of monarch butterflies, which I consider to be flying flowers. So keep in mind, butterfly milkweed is a great plant to add to your garden repertoire.
The income tax filing deadline is now less than 2 months away, but it can be less taxing for those 60 and older. AARP's tax aid program helps middle and lower income older Californians prepare basic federal and state income tax returns for free. Sheree Gillens with AARP California says they have 3,000 volunteer tax preparers ready to help at hundreds of sites across California.
They're there to walk the taxpayer through the various questions that they have and to, you know, get some money back into their hands.
The program was started in 1968. Gillen says last year they helped Californians secure $92 million in income tax refunds. While the program is catered to those 60 and older, it's open to everyone, and AARP membership is not required.
They're trained on the type of tax questions that come from AARP members and retirees. Sometimes there's new provisions and forms that are relevant to them, or sometimes there's a spouse who doesn't know how to proceed because, you know, their spouse is gone.
Gillen says walk-ins are welcome, but appointments are encouraged.
They can go to aarp.org/findtaxhelp, or they can call 888-227-7669. Either of those places will help you locate a site in your community. There's over 465 sites in California alone.
It's important to bring all of your tax documents, including last year's tax returns, Social Security cards, or other official documentation for yourself and your dependents. For Public News Service, I'm Lori Abbott.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.